It is KCRW Raul Campos, your host for the month of December, as morning becomes eclectic, and excited to welcome to the microphone and lit. You're going to be doing the interview with the one and only Beck, who's in the other room.
Really excited to welcome Beck back to KCRW. You know, this is his 11th time.
Wow.
Coming to KCRW. And it's in support of the new album, Hyperspace, which came out, last week? Week ago? Two weeks ago?
And we're big fans of already.
Yeah. And, you know, I have to say that and I'm going to get into this with Beck, if he doesn't mind, during the course of the interview. But I really want to talk to him about everything from his first visit to KCRW in 1993 to today. I mean, that's a long throw and a long time we've been fans of Beck's.
And definitely a good friend of the family here at KCRW.
Yeah. So I would like to introduce Beck. It is Beck on Morning Becomes Eclectic. It's KCRW.
Good morning. Should we kick it off?
Uneventful days, uneventful nights, living in the dark, waiting for the light. I'm caught up in these never-ending battle lines, and everything has changed, nothing here feels right. I know, I know, I know, I know, I know, I know. Everything I say, you know I can't get right. It means infinitely more to me than life. You might know my name, you don't know my mind. I don't even know what's wrong. Ever since you've been gone, only 2 minutes ago. You don't know me now. Everything that went wrong, you don't know where you belong. You know. I don't wanna
gonna leave me alone.
Uneventful day. Uneventful nights, living in the dark, waiting for the light. Nothing you could say could make it come to life. I don't ever wait, make you change your mind. I know, I know, I know, I know, I know, I know it's gone. I know, I know, I know, I know, I know. Never-ending days, never-ending nights. Time is moving slow, I don't even mind. And it means infinitely more to me than life. Got nowhere to go, got no will to fight. Haven't said a word now. Money getting thin now, meanwhile. Had another round of drink now. Better not get done, let down. Better not get down, left down. What am I really damn thinking about? In and out of love all night. Never ending days, never ending nights. Everything I do, you know I don't do right. I've been waiting around all night.
Yo,
yeah, 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 yeah. Yeah, 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 yeah.
Thank you. It's our first live radio performance of that. The second performance we've ever done of that song. Right, we're going to jump back a little bit. Something specifically for Los Angelinos.
Snoop Lucian.
She's got the lily white cavity crazes. She's got a cover. that she can talk to the mangling strangers, that she can sleep in a fiery ball, and throwing troubles to the dying members. She's a
I'm
Hey, Ann. Sorry. I don't have a mic. Want to share mine?
Thank you. Beck, on Morning Becomes Eclectic, it's KCRW. I want to welcome all of you guys to right here in the studio of KCRW, everybody listening on the radio and online and on Facebook Live. So welcome. And I'll give you back your microphone.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Hello, KCRW people. I'm awake. Are you awake?
Barely.
I'm getting there.
Yeah? Little by little. It's awfully kind of you to come on such early notice to KCRW.
Yeah, no problem. Happy to be here.
Well, thank you. So welcome, everybody. I'm Ann Litt. It's Morning Becomes Eclectic here on KCRW. And we would like to welcome you back for the 11th time to KCRW to perform.
11th time, wow.
Yeah, but that begs the question, which I mentioned to you earlier. You've had 14 albums, and somehow there have only been 11 visits. So
that doesn't seem right. Must be some missed. You know, there's other programs I've been on, though, I have to say.
Like, okay.
Over the years, I think I've popped in on some other things.
Yeah, probably
so. It's probably so. Higher than that.
Okay, fair enough. I won't give you too hard a time about that. But I have to say, and we've talked about this a lot since we were aware and happy that you were coming to KCRW, that whether you know it or not, you are actually the artist that we here at KCRW really track our evolution as a radio station by, because your first appearance on Morning Becomes Eclectic with Chris Derritis in 1993 really set the stage for KCRW as a place where we could really be turned to for breaking artists. And so it's just fitting that you're back here today, and thank you for coming.
Yeah, well, I thank KCRW for being a place where especially local artists and artists like myself could be heard, you know, besides college radio, you know. There's not really that many, there weren't that many outlets at the time, you know, we didn't have the access of the internet and all that, so it was quite something. I remember the first time I heard one of my songs, they said they were playing Loser, and the single had just come out, and a friend said to check out KCRW. It was, and I remember turning it on. It was the first song on Morning Becomes Eclectic. I was lying in bed, and you know, it was the first time I heard one of my songs on the radio.
That's kind of incredible.
So I thank KCRW for that.
Well,
am I turning my reverb off?
Or turning mine on?
Yeah, I feel like we should both be in reverb.
That would be kind of fitting for hyperspace.
There we go.
So I want to talk about the first visit to KCRW in 1993. You came in, you talked to Chris Derritis, and I went back last night just for fun to listen to that interview, and I transcribed a little bit of it. And it was like you said, it was right after Loser, 12-inch on Bong Load, and you had a show at, not at Jabberjaw, but you had a show at Troy Club, and that was all to promote that. But Chris asked you some questions, and I was wondering if I could re-ask you a couple of 1993 questions.
Okay.
Are you ready for this one?
This is like a psychiatric evaluation.
It is. And you can give us your current answers, or you can just stick with the 1993 ones. Chris Derritis, I understand you're living out of your car for a good while. Is that true, or was it a shed? And would you like me to tell you what you said?
It was sort of a shed on wheels. You know what's funny? I'm still technically living in a car because I'm pretty much living on a tour bus. It's a bigger car.
It's a fancier car.
It's a nicer shed.
It's a nicer shed, probably with like a PS4.
And I'm playing in sheds, which is what we call outdoor arenas. So sheds and cars and living in them still...
It still
some
applies.
Things don't change. Yeah.
All right. Next question. Are you working and do you have a job? Your answer was, no, I was laid off from a video store and have been living on unemployment. That was in 1993.
Yeah.
But you have a job now.
I have too many jobs now. It's the opposite problem.
Right. It's like that In Living Color sketch.
Yeah, I need to, maybe I should go back to the video store to see if they have any openings. I was apparently very good at alphabetizing the porn section, which was a dirty job.
But somebody had to do it.
Yeah, literally my hands would be black, I remember, for some reason, after handling those. don't know if that's too much information, but I'm taking you behind the curtain of the video the video store. Well, it's all streaming now, so nobody's hands are dirty.
That's true. Sort of.
I'll tell you, those VH cassettes needed to be sanitized.
Yikes. Okay, so last question from 1993, and then I'm going to move forward. But I do think it to me, it strikes a chord that is true now, which is, where do you find the lyrics from real-life situations? And you just said they just tumble out, and I feel that way. Do you feel that way?
Yeah, I think so. I think songwriting's a weird thing. It's sometimes you're sort of, oh, we got a click track. I've never had a click track for an interview. It's pretty
actually,
cool, though.
It's to keep it moving.
Get the tempo. It's sort of like putting an antenna up, you know. You're tuning in things. I don't know. Yeah. So, yeah, things from life, things from the world at large.
Yeah. But to me, you're this intrepid explorer who's infinitely curious and always ready to tell a story, yet it feels to me, and I want to get to the new record, but it does feel to me that you draw a lot on from whence you come and just sort of whatever is in your DNA or you've absorbed from being here in Southern California.
Yeah, people say that. You know, it's funny. I've had a lot of people, especially from Europe, they'll come to L.A. and they go, oh, okay, now your music makes sense to me. It didn't make sense before.
Really?
Yeah, I've had that, you know, especially during the Odelay time. But, you know, I've spent a lot of my music making traveling the world. So I think I've really taken on.
Right.
You know, it started out as very sort of inspired by environment, but now it's kind of everywhere.
Yeah.
Which is a weird, you know, it's interesting. You know, you spend time in Brazil or Japan or France, and that music starts to filter in those influences.
Which certainly makes sense, but
But LA is definitely in there.
Well, I would agree with the Europeans in saying that, you know, you think of Southern California and you think of the Beach Boys or Los Lobos or you sounds that to me, and I moved here right before Loser came out, so that was sort of marked my time in LA as well.
Oh, interesting. Wow.
Yeah, it was one of the first songs I heard on the radio on KCRW, so it was right around that time. So I read an article or listen to an interview or something where you said that for the first time you finally feel like you're living in the future and that everything sort of is more making sense now about the future. I don't know if
Yeah, it's funny. I mean, I don't know how it is for other people who grew up in LA, but I remember my whole life people were saying downtown is coming back. You know, when I was a kid, it was a ghost town. I mean, it was just abandoned sort of urban blight.
Right.
And they had torn down, before I was born, they tore down Bunker Hill. And I just remember condemned houses and buildings everywhere when I was growing up. And, after a long time, I started to feel like, I don't know if downtown is ever coming back. You know, you'd hear that, you know, every year. It's coming back any minute. And all of a sudden, it came back. I mean, it's, you go down there, I don't recognize half of it. I don't know where I am anymore.
Yeah.
And I think that's sort of what's, I've sort of noticed in the last 5 years, you know, they sort of say, well, the future, and, you know, we thought there'd be flying cars and all this business, but we really are kind of at that point, you know, this sort of inflection point of technology is completely, you know, seeped into our every aspect of life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that where hyperspace comes from?
No, I think there's a bit of a cliche on, you know, on technology being the sort of acceleration of things. Mm-hmm. I think it's like anything, like electricity, like any sort of, you know, automobiles, any kind of, you know, innovation. There's negatives and positives. There's things that will, you know, we're grappling with. But, you know, I think a lot of it also is kind of fascinatingly positive.
Yeah.
And it's interesting what human beings decide to do with it. You know, I remember someone describing the internet to me, and I couldn't quite figure out what the hell that was, but what we would need it for. But it's interesting to see what you know, as human beings, what we've done with that.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember somebody trying to describe America Online to me.
Yeah.
I was like, I don't know how that works. I don't understand. But things are making sense, I guess, is what you're saying.
Yeah, we sort of evolve with it. You know, we sort of humanize it in our own ways, and it dehumanizes us maybe in some other ways.
Yeah. So you're a guy, at least to me, who, as I said, you're sort of this intrepid explorer, and you really follow your instincts. And I wonder how that led you to Pharrell, because he plays a large part on the album, as do other producers as well, but Pharrell in particular.
We got together a number of years ago, and we've known each other for years and years, and he's somebody I've wanted to work with forever. When I was making a record called Midnight Vultures, he's the one I wanted to do the follow-up to that, and I think you know, for whatever reason, it just took a number of years, and you know, here we are.
And then at a certain point, you just called him and said, "Okay, now?"
Or
what was he going to bring to?
Well, so the first day I went to the studio with him, he said, "You know, I just wrote this song. We just finished it. Before we get started, can I just play it for you?" Mm-hmm. And he always wants to play people what he's working on. And he played me a song called Happy.
Oh, my God.
So I was like, we better work on this quick, because I don't think he's going to be available for a while. And that's kind of what happened, actually.
And so you came back around after that.
Yeah, we kind of reconnected about 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you sense, and maybe I know too much now and I've listened to the album too much, but do you feel where the meeting of the minds happens when you listen to the songs?
Yeah, definitely in their own ways on all of these songs.
Yeah.
You know, it's really we're kind of fitting into each other's worlds. And I think there's a lot of crossover. I've had a lot of influence from him over the years.
Uh-huh. Oh, and, I get
you know,
that.
I played New Pollution, because I remember when I first met him, he just said New Pollution, and then kind of did that. And so we had some mutual admiration, and you know, but songs like Saw Lightning, I think that's just us. I'm playing slide guitar, and he's making a beat, and then I'm playing piano, and then he's adding a bass thing.
Yeah.
And, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then he's going, woo, and then I'm going, there's a day I saw lightning, you know, just kind of feeding off of each other.
Yeah.
And that's, to me, that's just, you know, a lot of times, you know, kind of the lone songwriter. So to have that kind of songwriting relationship is really, you know, rare.
Well, listening to the album, it was before I really focused on who'd produced what song or any of that. And I said to a mutual friend of ours, I said, well, you know, Stratosphere is my favorite song on the album. And I don't know that you guys are going to play that today, but I do want to mention it, because he then told me that that was the one song on the album that you did just yourself.
Yeah, I did that one on my own. I tried to get songs, assemble songs that fit with the Pharrell record thematically and sonically, and it just all kind of felt like the same family of songs.
Yeah.
Like, there's songs on the record that Pharrell didn't work on that I feel sound maybe even more Pharrell than some of the ones that I did with him.
Well, I guess that's the stuff that bleeds over when you're working with an artist like that. You know, we're broadcasting this interview. By the way, I'm Ann Litt. It's Morning Becomes Eclectic here with Beck, and Facebook Live is participating. And I have some fans with a few questions.
Yeah.
Do you mind?
Absolutely.
Okay. Donnie M. Hughes asks, what exactly is a devil's haircut?
Good question. A lot of my lyrics, sometimes people will say kind of nonsense, you know?
Yeah.
I think that I was influenced by a lot of old folk and blues music, which kind of had some nonsensical aspects to it.
Yeah.
A lot of, you know, sort of folk music. They were just turns of phrase that felt good to sing.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, in that case, it was just like, I think it wasn't a literal phrase. It's just something that sums up a certain feeling that only that phrase could capture.
Yeah.
Got a devil's haircut in my mind. To me, it's like it sounded like something from a John Lee Hooker song or something.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. No, it does.
I got a devil's haircut in my mind. You know, there was always like,
Yeah.
That's my defense.
And I think that's a solid defense.
Yes.
Here's another one. There's several. Actually, why don't you look at them? Pick a question.
Oh, okay. Hey, Beck, would you ever make another acoustic album recorded straight into a four-track? I could, yeah. Why not?
Okay.
Should we do that?
Yeah.
It's going to sound like crap.
Yeah.
It's going to be a good time.
Do you want to ask
Actually, I have a four-track tape machine, like a big four-track, like a one-inch that the Beatles used. It's the same one they used for Sgt. Pepper's and all that, so maybe I'll use that one.
Okay. And we have time for one more.
Okay, one more. Okay. See, what is Beck's favorite place or venue that he's played at in the entire world? Oh, that's a tough one.
Besides KCRW.
Yeah, I think we're right here. It's a very beautiful place. These floors are very clean. There's a very Scandinavian feeling here.
It's a big sort of IKEA sort of vibe.
I think. It's fresh.
Yeah. And it's a long throw.
It's very different from where musicians usually hang out. Some very questionable carpets where we play. What do you guys think? What's one of our favorite venues? What's that? Budokan, yeah. That's an iconic one in Japan.
Show off.
People go to Red Rocks. We played one this summer that I've played a few times called The Gorge in Washington State.
Yeah.
That's where the stage is literally, it looks like you're playing on top of the Grand Canyon.
Wow.
But I'm sure I'll think of something else later.
Okay, I have a million more questions, but if we keep talking, we won't have time for the rest of your set. So just pause button in your brain that the next time we talk, we're going to talk about Tarantula, the Leonard Cohen tribute, everything you've been doing this year. And
that Leonard Cohen album's great, by the way. Everybody should go check that out.
It just came out, right?
Yes.
And it's a tribute. A lot of different artists paying tribute to Leonard Cohen.
Well, the one I'm thinking about is it's actually his final album.
Oh, yes.
That Adam produced, and I got to play a little something on one of the songs. Should we play some more music?
Yeah, play some more music. It's Beck on Morning Becomes Eclectic on KCRW. Thank you.
So, good to talk to you.
Yeah, this is lovely.
So, I did a tour this year with Cage the Elephant, and we wrote this song together. And I'm going to send this out with love to them, to those fine boys. We're going to play with them in L.A. this weekend on Saturday. So come out and see us. We might even do this song.
Talking like you're coming from Kingdom Come. Rhythm and reeling and riding the sound up to the ceiling. Hey, hey, never got no money, but I'm running from the gun. My hands are flooded, cold blood and the money, drunk on summer's blood. Killing the moonlight with daylight. I got my x-ray eyes and I'm feeling so fine. Night running all night. We running. We roll. Losing control. Oh, better not stop till I get home. Sentimental flowers don't grow. Gotta live with parasites and tidal waves and pelican flood. I've got the green love in the streets of my blood. I'm on the final run of the minute out of love. Oh, night running all night. We run.
Catch the Elephant. All right, we're going to do something from the new record, Hyperspace.
There was a day I saw lightning, and it struck me down. There was a day I saw lightning. There was a day.
Something we've never played before. All right, this is from the new record. It's called Dark Places.
Time.
It is Beck Live on Morning Becomes Eclectic. Raul Campos about to sign off, but you know what? The performance, if you want to continue to check it out, you can do so at KCRW.com or Facebook Live for KCRW. As we approach the top of the hour, it is member-supported. KCRW Santa Monica, Los Angeles, KDRW Santa Barbara, KCRI Indio Palm Springs, KCRU Oxnard Ventura, and KCRY Mojave. We're a community service of Santa Monica College, and that is NPR for Southern California. News, music, culture. Listen worldwide from our app or ask your smart speaker to play KCRW. So once again, you can check it out live at KCRW.com or on Facebook Live. So big up to Beck and Lit for doing the interview. Paul Drew Smith, our recording engineer. Paul Hager, band engineer. Eric, Andrew, Pat, Kashi, Ty, Susie, so many people that are involved to make this all happen. Jasmine Casillas in the studio, production assistants, and Mary Shellamy producing Morning Becomes Eclectic. So we got some autographed vinyl to give away. Yes, we have 5 copies of autographed vinyl of Beck's new album, Hyperspace, to give away. If you have not won anything from us in the past 90 days, enter at kcrw.com/giveaways for your chance to win an autographed